Welcome to the DreamStation.cc video game show, episode 72. I'm your host, Chris, and I'm here with Ben. How you doing, Ben?
Yes. Wow, that sucked.
that was a great intro there you got. We're going to cover some different things this week, as usual. Sorry for the delay in having another episode since 71. I've been kind of busy doing different things for the website and personal things and slacking off. As you can see, tonight we're kind of small on people, so Ben and I are going for it, and hopefully you guys don't mind just a two-person show tonight. So with that, let's go into the first topic, try to cover some things that we missed over the past few weeks. Real quick, the new at Dream Station, if you guys haven't been there in a few weeks, we haven't had tons, like I said, we've been busy on stuff, but since the last show, we had a Painkiller Hell Wars review, we had a Tony Hawk's American Wasteland for computer review, we had a Strategic Command 2 Blitzkrieg for PC review, Disgaea 2 Cursed Memories for PlayStation 2 review, I hope I pronounced that right. We had the Nintendo Fusion Tour 2006 coverage that I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. We went to the Nintendo Fusion Tour it was good and bad at the same time. We also had a Metroid Prime Pinball for Nintendo DS review, and we had a Saints Row for Xbox 360 review. So if you guys want to check those out, visit the website, www.dreamstation.cc.
The new E3 has been announced. It's July 11th through the 13th, 2007. What they're going to do is they're going to have it in different hotels in Santa Monica. It will be invite only. And the way it's going to work is everyone's just going from one hotel to another. And if you're not invited, you're not going. They're not going to allow retail employees. You've got a blog. You know, you're in. You know, it's pretty much invite. If, you know, the big companies don't invite you, well, I guess you're sitting at home and watching G4.
The people running Expo, they're the ones calling the shots on, oh, we're inviting these people or we're not inviting these people. I mean, I haven't heard.
The press release doesn't mention, but hopefully it's the game companies or the developers and publishers inviting. That way, all you need to have is that one connection.
Yeah, exactly.
If that one connection gets you in, and if that's a ticket that just basically gets you into everything, well, then you're set.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you've got to be invited to, like, each individual place, then it's a different story, you know?
Yeah. Now, like, the press conferences last year, like Microsoft, Nintendo, and stuff, those were individual invites. We actually got invited from specific companies saying, hey, do you want to come? I don't know if that's how it's going to still be, because they were saying they were going to have press conferences around the hotel areas or whatever and have shuttles and stuff to those. I mean, maybe Microsoft will still have their press conference down at the Grauman Chinese Theater or whatever. I don't know if that's what's going to happen or not. You learn more at the press conference than you do at E3 on the show floor anyways. I mean, they basically spill out everything they're going to do for the next, you know, 6 months to a year or longer and show you clips and movies and have little demos and everything. And then Microsoft, after you went to the press conference, you went across the street to the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, and they had a little mini E3 there set up in the hotel. I mean, they probably had less than 100 systems set up that you could try, and I just walked up to different systems and tried them. They were pretty much every game that was in the E3 booth, but with nowhere near as big a crowd. So, you know, if they did something like that where it was like a press conference and then an intimate gaming, you know, trial and stuff like that, that might not be bad. I know they did say something you were telling me about the hangar and stuff.
Yeah, they're basically going to have a bunch of systems set up in a hangar. That's going to be their show floor, in essence. You just walk into this hangar, they're going to have a bunch of spaces dedicated to each developer or publisher or however it works for them, and that's where you're going to have the games, aside from the actual conference rooms and whatever else they have set up in the hotels.
And they were saying those demo systems and stuff are actually going to be set up and configured by E3, not by the companies themselves, so, you know, Microsoft and Sony won't be making the booths and having bigger and bigger and louder sound systems and everything else. It's going to be E3 that's setting up probably just rows and rows of TVs and consoles for you to try, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no more Tecmo girls. EA is going to offer up cheats for Tiger Woods 2007 via the marketplace. So in essence, you don't even have to play the game anymore to unlock all these courses and clubs and players or whatever it is that you unlock in the game. You can basically pay, you know, your nominal fee of whatever it is, $4, $5, and just get everything unlocked for you, which is EA's version of gold farming, maybe? I don't know.
Nice, nice. I can see the people at Action Replay going, no!
Exactly. I mean, what are you going to do? People are paying for it.
So. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like MMOs out there that they're free. We even talked to some of the people a few years ago at E3. They were running them, and they, you know, they're free online multiplayer games, and they said, we're going to make money off of people that are willing to pay for the latest armor or the latest swords or better weapons or whatever. We're just going to give the game away for free and let people play it, and you can find those items as you play the game if you want, or if you don't want to, you can can pay us a buck here or $2 there, and we'll give you that stuff. So I guess there's people out there that want to do that. Yeah.
That's part of the whole microtransaction thing. G4 TV, they are now under the management of E! Network, so pretty much you can expect some Paris Hilton on G4, I guess is the bottom line. Pretty much Comcast calling it quits on G4. They're the ones who started this thing up. They're the ones who purchased Tech TV and then just ruined every good show that Tech TV had. Just, it's bad. I don't even have it, but I know it's bad.
Yeah, I don't have it either, but we've heard from relatives and friends that it's horrible.
By now, you've probably heard EB Games / GameStop. They had their pre-orders for the Wii and the PS3 as of last Friday the 13th. Those pretty much came and went. And as of today, eBay has pulled any PS3 auctions with people's pre-order tickets, pre-order receipts, whatever they had.
Yeah, because the people were going home from the store and probably were home 10 minutes and already had their $600 PS3 pre-order on eBay for buy it now for $1,200. the reasoning behind them pulling eBay pulling that is they have something in their contract that says that you're not allowed to sell a pre-order that's for something that's further than 30 days out. So I guess, you know, if they put it online this week or next week, they'll be allowed to again, but it was something like 45 days out, so they got in trouble.
According to the Sony website, SonyStyle.com, the PS3 games are listed at $59.99. So that's not going to be anywhere near what people were rumoring games to be priced at when they announced the official price of the system. You know, people were like, oh, games are going to be like $80 or whatever.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's like they're going to be the same price as 360 games. So.
Well, you know, that's funny you mentioned that, because in that PS3 launch handbook, it had the interview with the president of Sony, and he was saying... Here's his little quote, because they said, can we expect PS3 games to be priced in the same range as Xbox 360 titles? And he said, generally speaking, over the past 12 years or so, there has been a consumer expectation that disc-based games are maybe $59 on the high end or $39 on the low end. So what I can say now is, I think it would be a bit of a stretch to think that we could suddenly turn around and say, PS3 games now $99.99. I don't think consumers expect the software pricing to suddenly be double. So the quick answer is that we want to try to make it as affordable as possible, knowing that there is a set consumer expectation for what software has cost for the past 12 years. That's kind of the best answer I can give. So if it becomes a bit higher than $59, don't ding me. But again, as I said, I don't expect it to be $100. And I remember that going around right after E3, people saying, oh, he said don't ding me if it's, you know, $100 and it's going to be, yeah, you know, they're going to be $95 or $99.99 or, you know, whatever. But I don't think they could, in their right mind, try to sell games for more than what Xbox 360 games are, even though those are kind of a rip in some ways to me also. I mean, for an example, and this might be a good segue into our next topic, but Phantasy Star Universe, okay, it's coming out for the PC, PS2, and Xbox 360 next week, and, you know, the PC version and the PS2 version, if I'm not mistaken, are going to be $49.99, but the Xbox 360 version is going to be $59.99. Now, why is that? They're the same game. They use the same information. They, you know, everything is the same. Now, granted, the code's different, but they had to code for two other systems. And they said the PC version is pretty much the spitting image of the Xbox 360 version, so there's not, like, any better textures or redone graphics or anything like that. And if I don't know if they used, like, the Microsoft's XNA platform or, you know, I'm guessing to go from the PC to the 360 maybe wasn't that hard either. So where are they getting that $10 extra charge? You know, I mean,
it's going to pay for the beta that we just
Where can you justify the, you know, the extra $10?
I guess we can segue into the Phantasy Star Universe.
We got a letter from Lee Swain. He said, let's see, I love the show. You're all doing a great job, but the show needs less time dissecting the latest Need for Yawn speed games and more time dedicated to Phantasy Star Universe. You know it's a game most DreamStation.cc fans are eagerly awaiting, but I don't recall it ever being previewed or discussed besides a name drop by mistake in this week's sound game. I propose that you set aside a 20 to 40 minute section each week called the This Week in PSU, which will obviously be more interesting once the game comes out in 27 days, which is a little bit old email. But that is no reason not to get a head start. Anyways, keep up the good work. Check out my webcomic. I'd be happy to plug your site and podcast and keep on trucking. That was from Lee Swain Parabolis. 77. But anyways, he wanted more Phantasy Star Universe, so we're bringing it to him. So
we give the people what they want.
We give the people what they want. We actually got to download, and probably a lot of people did, got to download the Phantasy Star Universe beta for Xbox 360 last week, and got to try it online and check it out and see what if it really is better than Phantasy Star Online or the same thing or whatnot. And I played it on Friday night with my brother, Z36, and I played it a few nights this past weekend. I think I got up to level 6. But I liked it. It's similar. It reminded me a lot of Phantasy Star Online. You know, you're still going into rooms and or areas that are blocked off, and you battle the beasts that show up kind of magically out of nowhere, and you beat on them for a little while, and then once you beat on them, then you go on to the next room and beat on some more guys and go on to the next room. I mean, it sounds very simple, but it's actually fun, and they changed some things. You know, you don't have the same 3-button small, medium, large attack where you had to switch between them and combo.
It was like a weak and a strong, and then like a special.
Yeah, so I mean now they just have a 1-button combo system that I guess you can upgrade as you go up in levels, and you can get where you can juggle the guys. And I saw some people doing that, like knocking them up in the air and hitting them some more. So yeah, that was kind of cool. I was trying to like time it, like you know how we used to have to time it at the perfect button pressing time to keep that combo going. I don't know if you really have to now or not, or if you can just kind of a button smash, because it seemed like when I just was mashing them, it did just as well as trying to time it.
Yeah, exactly.
The graphics are a lot better, I mean, flat out. But so how much did you play of it, Ben, too?
I think I put in about, I don't know, somewhere between like 6 and 10 hours. I got to level 5, and then the Xbox Live decided that they needed to go down for server maintenance. But I thought it was pretty good. My problem was a lot of it seemed like, okay, like it's expanded, but expanded for like no particular reason, just like only just to say like, oh, like our world is so huge. And it's like maybe I'm just too used to the old PSO game. It was just like, okay, walk in, you know, there's basically, you know, like two places you can go. One of those places is the shops, and you know, all the shops are in there. Whereas you look now and it's like, okay, well, there's like 6 different shops.
Yeah,
like one shop is like, each shop is for a class or a race or I don't even know how it goes.
Well, I noticed too, in the one city we were in, you had to, like, the one end of the city was where you went into battle. The other far end was where the shops were. And, you know, it took a few minutes to run across the city because it's so big. You had to go actually transition for and let it go load to the next screen and keep going. And I was kind of like, you know, yeah, this is cool because it makes it feel really big and like it's a big world you're running around in. But when I'm battling with people and I just died and I just want to go buy some more monomates, you know, I got to run all the way across town. Meanwhile, they're getting, you know, their butts kicked down, you know, in the mission because I'm goofing around trying to run across the town to get to the monomates. Now, I don't know if you're going to be able to, like, telepipe like you used to be able to right by the shops, and, you know, maybe that'll solve some of that. I didn't pay attention if there was telepipes in the thing or not.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
Yeah, I didn't either. And the one thing they did do is, I don't know if you noticed, when you first go into each level, there's a crystal, and if you touch that crystal, when you go on to, like, Section 2 or Section 3 in that area, as long as you touch that crystal every time, you actually, when you say you die and you come back down, you can actually go to that crystal and transfer, say everybody's in Area 3, or what is it, Block 3 or whatever they call it, you can go right to that block instead of having to run through all the previous ones to get to there. Because I think in PSO, if I remember correctly, you either had to telepipe down into that area or you had to run through the whole zones to get there. Is that, if I remember correctly, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's pipe or just get your butt down there.
Yeah, exactly. Now the one thing that was kind of goofy and we were laughing about is in the old PSO, if you went into an area and you were battling guys and the door was locked to go forward, you battled the guys, and then once you beat them all in that area, the door would automatically unlock and then you could go through it. Well, now what they did is,
yeah, it's pipe or yeah, just get your butt down there.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the one thing that was kind of goofy and we were laughing about is in the old PSO, if you went into an area and you were battling guys and the door was locked to go forward, you battled the guys, and then once you beat them all in that area, the door would automatically unlock, and then you could go through it. Well, now what they did is they've tried to, like, hide crates by putting barrels or putting hay bales, and it's just the same thing. It's just, you know, it's just that it's trying to make it look a little prettier. I mean, the graphics do look a lot better. The terrain's a little more uneven when you're walking around. The character design and details on them are pretty detailed.
My other issue with the game was, well, maybe it's just a beta, because, I mean, they give you absolutely no direction. Like, yeah, there's a tutorial and everything, but, like, first of all, like, their translation, like, is horrible. And so you're just kind of, like, thrown out into this world, and it's like, okay, figure it out.
There has to be, like, a Phantasy Star Universe wiki or something out there that people have all these information
on. Already up.
They're already up and going, okay.
It's already up.
The weapons being where you had to, like, create them, you could also buy them, but there was ones where you could create them and add the special abilities to them. The one thing, I mean, on the one side, it's cool because there's a lot of depth to the game that probably will keep you busy for a long time. But on the flip side, it's like, man, is this going to become monotonous where there's just so much that you have to do? And I would agree, like you said, like, you didn't really know where to go. It's funny that some people didn't even know there was planet. There could have been a little bit more of steering you in the right direction. The game was fun. It seems like it has a lot of depth and a lot of things to try. You know, I really haven't played World of Warcraft, so is it going to beat World of Warcraft in the, you know, multiplayer online role-playing game area? Probably not. Well, people that like Phantasy Star Online like it, definitely. I mean, they'll probably eat it up. And I know some of the people that played in our Phantasy Star Online guild in the past are excited about getting it. You know, we encourage everybody that's playing Phantasy Star Universe or planning on buying it to come over to dreamstation.cc. If you want to go to the Phantasy Star Online Guild section directly, you can go to www.dreamstation.cc/PSO, and that'll take you right to the Phantasy Star Online Guild page, and hopefully we can get some information up there on where to meet people. If you guys are interested in joining us and being with people that are cool to play with, then check out dreamstation.cc. We're the place to be for PSU. Yeah, we went on September 30th, 2006 to the Lakewood Civic Auditorium in Cleveland, Ohio area to the Nintendo Fusion Tour. And, you know, I started the article out with the Nintendo Fusion Tour sucked. And maybe that was an extreme statement to kind of catch people's attention. But, there was a lot of things about it that annoyed me, and maybe I should have known better going into it. But, you know, we went in there, we got there about 5 o'clock or so, 5:15, I think. And, the show doors opened at 5 and got there at 5:15. And the place was already packed, and there was a line for at least probably 20 people long for Metroid Prime 3. And, you know, so we're standing there, and it was about an hour I was standing there. And in that time, I think I saw maybe 3 or 4 people play Metroid Prime in an hour. And I actually saw one guy play for 20 minutes. I timed him. So, you know, it's like, do the math, and that's 3 people per hour. The show's only 5 hours long. And so that's 15 people that maybe got to play Metroid Prime. You know, I mean, if Nintendo's using this as a marketing tool to try to get as many people talking about the Wii and playing the Wii and experiencing it as possible, you know, that's not a very good way of doing it, in my opinion. I got to play Wii Boxing once. We stood in line. The lines were like big globs of people that didn't really have any line formation at all. It was just like people standing next to each other going, are you in line? Yeah. Are you in line? Yeah. Who's first? I don't know. I was here, I think. You know, so it wasn't very organized. It was at the Lakewood Civic Auditorium, which is actually attached to the high school. And, and it'd be...
Say no more then.
Yeah, exactly. And the Wii and Nintendo DS area was actually in the high school cafeteria. Then we were talking to the guy, the road guy, the crew, one of the guys afterwards, and he was saying, oh, well, we actually left 2 of the Wii systems in the truck because we didn't have enough room. And we're like, well, what do you mean? Like, the other half of the cafeteria still had tables all set up. So I'm like, you know, you didn't have enough room. What about this other, I don't know, 100 feet of space, you know, on the other side here? But I don't know if it was a power problem. They were worried about shortened circuits and stuff or blowing fuses or whatever, I don't know, fire marshal, I have no idea, but they didn't. They left 2 Wii systems in the truck. In my opinion, they should have brought in those and left a couple of the DS systems in the truck, because they had like, I think about 12 or so, maybe 15 DS systems set up, but they were playing games like the new Mario versus Donkey Kong 2, which was already out in stores. They had the new Mega Man, which was, I think, already out. They had a few like that Elite Beat Agent and Yoshi Island, and I'm trying to think what else they had for the Mario 3-on-3 Hoops, which was out in the stores. And a lot of those games now, too, I was looking, they're actually on the Nintendo DS download station. So if you go to GameStop or Toys R Us or whatever, you can actually download those. So, you know, why did they bring them in? Why didn't they bring more Wii systems? I don't know. But I did actually stand in line for the Wii Boxing, ended up, these two kids were behind us, driving me crazy, going, dude, what's going on, man? Hey, cool, this is neat, dude. What, you know, you know the people, right? And I probably just, like, offended a bunch of our listeners. But so we're standing in line, and then the two kids kind of, the one kid ended up getting next to me in the blob of people, and his friend's like, dude, what are you doing? These people are in line. And he's like, well, I didn't really see a line, and, like, I'm standing here. So I told my friend Jason, who was with me, I'm like, you know, just let them go ahead of me because they're driving me crazy. So they did, and it ended up that they were done boxing, and the next person up, they're like, all right, who's going to box Doug Robinson, the lead singer of The Sleeping? And it ended up being me, and so he kicked, and in good and true DreamStation.cc fashion, I lost. So I sucked. But I didn't know what I was doing. He had played a couple times. I think he was practicing on the bus. That's my excuse, but he was pretty cool, and I actually have I uploaded a couple videos to YouTube of the boxing, and I actually have the last part that Jason recorded for me of me losing to Doug Robinson on the site, if you guys want to check that out. And but yeah, he was really cool, the band was cool, we ended up buying their CD and got them to all sign it, they took some pictures, I got some photos. I probably have about I don't know, maybe 30 photos, or actually 56 photos I just looked on the website from the event, if you guys want to check that out. The bands that are on tour with them is there's Hawthorne Heights was the lead band, their main headliner, Reliant K, Plain White Tees, Emery, and The Sleeping. My wife and I are fans of the Reliant K, so we were going there to see them, and I thought they were going to be like kind of a co-headlining band, but it ended up that they were almost like just a higher profile opening band, because I think they only played about 8 songs, where Hawthorne Heights, I think they played about 20. And that's another thing, we waited in line for the Wii Boxing, and I finally got to play, and I played Doug Robinson, and then while I was playing, like, all these people rushed in, so then Jason and my nephew got pushed about 2 or 3 people back, so they never even got to try it. So we had 10 people that went with us to the show, and I was the only one that got to play the Wii once. So I mean, that's not very good, you know, odds. And they had to put it in perspective, they had this event held had about 1500 people at it, and they had 8 Wii systems to try, and like I said, about 12 or so DS systems. So I mean, I did the math on the Wii systems, and that how it figured out is that you had to have pretty much 188 people had to try one of the 8 Wii systems each in a 5-hour period to actually be able to, for everybody to try the Wii once. And, you know, that's not going to happen. And granted, even, you know, if only half those people want to try it, that's still 94 people per Wii system. And if they're letting one person play Metroid Prime for 20 minutes, that's just not going to happen. So I think Nintendo could have done a better job of, you know, having more systems there. This event reminded me as more of kind of how, like, Gatorade sponsors, like, a sporting event, and they have, like, a little Gatorade sampling booth next to where you can drink some Gatorade. That's kind of how this was. It really shouldn't be called, in my opinion, the Nintendo Fusion Tour. It should be called the Fusion Tour sponsored by Nintendo, like, with, you know, just, like, their little thing, their little bus. You know, it was cool. I mean, and then the other problem with it, too, is, like, the cafeteria was in the one room, the auditorium was across the hall, so you couldn't even listen to the bands while you were playing the games or waiting in line to play the games. You had to choose. You paid $20 to get in, and then you had to choose, do I want to stand in line and maybe get to play the Wii once or twice for the whole evening, or do I want to go listen to the bands? You couldn't do both. I don't know, maybe other venues where it was at, maybe it was better, maybe they set it up better. It originally was supposed to be at the Tower City Amphitheater, which is actually a place that can hold 6,000 people. It has folding chairs, and it was outdoors, so that's probably why they moved it, because it was getting cold here in Cleveland, and they said also they weren't getting a lot of ticket sales, so they didn't want to have, you know, all this empty space. But I think if it was at the Tower City Amphitheater in Cleveland, they could have had it where the systems were in the back, and then the seating was in the front, and then the bands were up front playing, so you could have heard the bands while you're playing the systems. That might have been a better venue, and that might have been how they planned it when they, you know, scoped out the event. They changed the location like the week or two before the show actually came, you know, to town. And then the one of the other things that kind of irritated me was we listened to Ryan K. We were done listening to that. Okay, Hawthorne Heights is coming on. Let's go play some more Wii, because like a lot of the people were in listening to Hawthorne Heights. So we go in there and we're waiting in line to play Excite Truck, and we're about 3 or 4 deep, and we go through, and there's like 2 people left in front of us before we get to play, and the guy comes around and says 5 minutes and we're packing up. And I'm like, what? You know, Hawthorne Heights is still playing. And so we got up. We were the next ones in line, just like my PS3 pre-order. I was the next person, and then they told me, oh, well, guess what? You were packing up, so you can't play. So we didn't get to try Excite Truck anymore or didn't even get to try it. And they packed, they said, oh, we got to pack up because we got to get on the bus and be out of here by midnight. And I'm thinking, okay, how long does it take for them to pack up? Well, they started packing up, I would say, about 9:30 or so. And by 10 o'clock, Hawthorne Heights was probably finishing up, maybe even still playing, and they already had everything on the truck. So it's like you couldn't wait a half hour longer until the bands are done and then pack up. You had to pack up 30 minutes early so nobody can play. You know, it's called the Nintendo Fusion Tour. Shouldn't the whole package be available the whole time everything's going on? I mean, it was fun. If you guys like any of those bands and you want to see them, I would recommend going to it. If you want to see the Wii and maybe get a chance to play it once, maybe twice, maybe three times if you're lucky, and you don't mind paying $20, then I'd say, go check it out. But, you may, if all you're really going there for is to try the Wii, I would probably recommend just waiting until November 19th and put the $20 towards, another Wii game Wii Nunchuck, because I think they're $19.99. Buy that instead of spending the $20 on the tickets to the show, if that's all you're going for is just to see the Wii and hopefully try it, because you're not going to get to play it more than, 5 minutes, unless you're that guy playing Metroid Prime for 20 minutes, trying to beat the game. So anyways, that's my wrap up in the Nintendo Fusion Tour. I think that'll be maybe this week's show for you guys. We're going to call this a night and pack this in, and we'll see you guys hopefully next week. See you guys. Yeah. Bye.
Ciao.
Make sure you brush the toilet.